I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hope you're having a great day, man. It's a beautiful day in the A. Got to give a shout out to Robert. I think he's back in his car now. Robert literally just passed by Buffalo's Cafe here off of Windy Bagwell Parkway and was like, came in. What's up, fellas? What's up, Robert? Okay, Robert, good talk. And Robert walked out. I was like, man, I saw the van. I just wanted to come say hello to you guys. But appreciate him stopping by. You guys can come hang out with this great food. Obviously, great wings here. We always have a good time out here at Buffalo's Cafe. Zeno is in for Mike today. And we got a bunch of other guests that are going to stop by, guys. We're going to talk to Chris Henderson, Chief Soccer Officer and Sporting Director for Atlanta United, in regards to them bringing back Tata. Barbara Dooley stops by at 4 o'clock. And also Mike Griffith to talk dogs a little bit later on in the show. If you missed Jalen Johnson from last hour, make sure you rewind on the Odyssey app and check it out. Hawks play Toronto tomorrow, and then the Lakers on Saturday. Going to be a fun weekend down at State Farm Arena. Last hour, by the way, was brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Let Wise Guys lights brighten your holidays. Zeno, I want to ask you about this before we get into some football conversation here in our 4th and 1 segment. And that is, what's the deal with this ESPN split and pin? I know you do a gambling show, and I know you do a lot of this around the country. What's your take on this? Because ESPN splits with Penn, but didn't they pay a lot of money to partner with them?
They did. They signed, but yeah, everybody has to understand, they signed a licensing deal. They didn't. They ran nothing of the sports books. They didn't set lines. They didn't set limits. They didn't offer promos. That wasn't ESPN offering those promos. That was Penn Gaming, who runs the sports book. It's really no different than a licensing deal to name a stadium. How poorly the team performs in that stadium isn't a reflection of the company name on top of it, right? Like, that's essentially what it boils down to. ESPN decided Penn Gaming is failing, and our name being attached to them is dragging us down. Let's get out of this business decision and go with a more prominent sports book. Why did ESPN do this, initially sign with Penn? Because as they launched ESPN Bet, they knew they had to be part of the betting space, obviously, as the worldwide leader. So you have to break into the market somewhere. You have to have some semblance of breaking into to get people to buy into ESPN Bet as a product and a place to go to get information and everything else. But also, you wanted to do it to generate revenue, as you were getting a share of whatever Penn was getting as far as the – a lot of other companies are doing the same things with DraftKings and FanDuel and BetMGM and Caesars. They buy into that when they get a revenue stake or whatever they handle, however much money they make off of the bets that they take from those promotions that they give out. So the business deal didn't work for ESPN, but the real loser here is not ESPN. It's Penn Gaming. This is now the second time that Penn Gaming has tied itself to a national brand, first in Barstool,
true,
now in ESPN. And both times it failed. And Barstool sold the rights to Penn Gaming for $1.
It was a joke. Right.
And that was a Dave Portnoy sort of look at me kind of deal more than anything else.
Sure.
But the point simply is, was that, like, even Barstool was losing money on it, which is why they got out. These aren't signs of bad business people. They're bad business decisions, what happens all the time to really rich people. Right? Not every Shark Tank guy who invests in a company, automatically it blows up. Sometimes they fail and they get out and they move on. You don't ever hear anything about it. This is a national thing where you are going to hear about it because ESPN launched the idea that they're now going to partner with DraftKings. Well, you can't just partner with DraftKings if you already have a deal with Penn Gaming. You have to cut it off publicly so everybody knows. But they got a better sports book. They got a more prominent sports book. They'll make more revenue off of this thing. But the real loser here, as much as people want to bag on ESPN, that's fine. ESPN is not the real loser here. It's Penn Gaming.
No, because they'll move on, and they will make money off of their partnership, their new partnership with DraftKings. But that is something that a lot of people around the sports world are talking about today. And I wanted to mention that. Also, we were mentioning the Braves guys and the payroll and the revenue. Braves today exercised the options on Chris Sale. We got the news before anybody about Ozzie, as Alex Anthopoulos dropped that news on us and said we will exercise Ozzie's option. But they did decline the options of right-handed pitcher Pierce Johnson and right-handed pitcher Tyler Kinley. They're going to save about $12 million by declining both of those options. Shortstop, as Alex told us 2 days ago, is still a priority, and they're, you know, they're looking at all their options right now. But he mentioned to us, shortstop was one of the things that he felt like he has to address, and I don't disagree.
I mean, here's the money issue, right? This is where it comes in. Bo Bichette's probably the number one shortstop on the market.
True,
just played in the World Series, right? If he is being bid on between the Yankees and you know, the Phillies, they don't need it, they have Trey Turner, but you get the point.
Yes.
The Yankees and the Red Sox, whoever else is out there, okay? And they offer, you know, Bo Bichette $10 more million a year than you do. You can be upset about that, the similar way that the Yankees didn't offer Juan Soto enough, right? They had the money. They just didn't offer him, regardless how ginormous and ridiculous the contract was. But the point simply is that, like, that you can get upset about. But that doesn't mean – that's not the same thing as spending in the top five. Like, losing out on a free agent that you have the means to get because of $5, $7, $10 million, that's a thing that you can complain about, right? Like, that is an understandable complaint from the fan base because you have the resources to do it. Match the offer, go a million above the offer, whatever it is to try to get him here. It's the reason why fans were upset that Freddie left, right? The Dodgers are willing to go one more year, okay, and pay him, you know, $8 million, $10 million more, whatever it was on the contract for one more year. I understand Braves fans being upset about that because you had the resources to keep him if you wanted him. That's a different conversation than we need to spend in the top five. Well, okay, spend in the top five. It doesn't mean you get it. Doesn't mean that you're going to win a World Series. So
no, but
that's
a
fair argument.
It does, but it does tell us, and through the – certainly the last, what, 15, 20 years, the teams that spend usually have a better shot, statistically we know this, at getting to the playoffs. For me, that's where I'm at. I'm not necessarily – I'm not trying to buy a World Series because I know it's unrealistic. Mm-hmm. We've seen lesser-tier teams and lesser-talented teams win World Series. But I do think that the goal should be for us to get to the playoffs. And I know we're spoiled as Braves fans because, well, we do that all the time. Well, we didn't this year. So if you're telling me you're putting a team together that has the likelihood of getting to the playoffs and you've spent the money accordingly, that's, as a fan, that's all I can ask. I can't ask him to go buy a World Series because that to me is unrealistic. But I think that is where, Mark, it gets jaded. There are people who think you can go buy a World Series by simply going to buy the two best pitchers, the best shortstop. Let's go get the best bullpen guy, go get the best closer available on the market, and we're going. It doesn't happen that way. So that becomes the argument. It is interesting, but they saved $12 million. And by the way, I think they're going to go back to Iglesias. I think they're going to keep Iglesias, by the way. I think they're going to pay him. And I know some people are like, I don't want him as a closer. I don't think that is something that they are looking at as a priority. I think they feel like he did a really good job at the end of the year, probably the last 2.5, 3 months of the season. We can run that back.
I don't like the comparison of closers to kickers, but, like, you're a good closer until you're not.
True.
Right?
Yep.
Everything is fine with the guy until it all falls off the rails and he can't get an out and he keeps blowing leads for you. And then you get into this awful cycle of who's my closer for the next 3 weeks until that person can't handle the job anymore. I mean, there is a very select few of kind of bona fide closers in this league. 5 or 6 of them are guys you just flat out trust, and you know they're gonna close 90% of their games. They'll blow 3 or 4 saves in a season, and that's it. Compared to 40, 50 saves, you know, that they have, those guys are rare and they're hard to find. But if Iglesias is the guy, I'm not saying it's an awful decision. Are there other options out there? Possibly. Do you want to test? Do you want to dance with the devil you know, or the one you don't? And if they say we're going to dance with the devil we know in Iglesias, then that's an organizational decision that we all have to trust that Alex is the right one.
When they went and got him, you guys, I don't know if you remember, we had, you know, it was like he was put in place to be the closer of the future. We actually had a couple of options at that time, and he's been really good for us. I mean, there are wobbles, but there are wobbles with all these closers. I just feel like the money saved may go to Iglesias. We're going to have to wait and see. Again, we're live, guys, at Buffalo's Cafe, Windy Bagway Parkway, Bagwell Parkway in Hiram, hanging out here until 6. We are going to talk some NFL. I do want to mention this story because it's just – it's sad, man. It's tragic. I don't know if anybody knows the reason, but Cowboys defensive end Marshawn Keelan died Thursday morning of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot. And the Cowboys put out a statement that he tragically passed away this morning. The story is out there. This happened in Frisco. The Frisco Police Department responded to assist the Texas Department of Public Safety with locating a vehicle that evaded troopers during a pursuit that ended up, you know, basically with this standoff, I believe. And ultimately, you know, when they found Keelan, he was gone. And 24 years old, talented. Played for the Cowboys, and I said to Day-Day, you know, we just saw him make a play the other night. They blocked a punt in that Cardinals game. He turns it into a touchdown, and you see that, and you think, man, these guys are, you know, they're living amazing. Everything's perfect. And I only say that to say we all have issues. And If you are even thinking about anything, seek help. I'm just telling you. And that goes for anybody. That nobody is above this. None of us are above the idea of, oh, I would never do that, or I would never even think about that. I don't know about you. I've had some really lows in my life. I had some really highs. And I'm just telling you, like, this just reminds me again that if you need help, please seek it. If you know somebody, please seek it. Because I don't think anybody, and he's around these other guys all the time, I don't know if anybody would have imagined that this was going to happen. So, Marshawn Keelan passing away, again, self-inflicted gunshot wound. More information will come out. They'll do an autopsy, and, you know, the investigation is on. But this is just really one of those situations where you go, huh? I just saw him playing the other night.
Scored a touchdown.
He was a second-round pick, by the way, out of Western Michigan in 2024, the 56th pick overall in the NFL. And on Monday, the Cowboys obviously lost to the Cardinals. It's a bye week for them. So guys are away from the facility, but they are already offering counseling for anybody who wants it, staff, players, etc. Just a very tragic situation. All right. We are going to turn the page and talk about our Falcons, who are on their way to Germany. And as they make their way there, I want your real assessment of Raheem Morris. No, I mean really. We're going to get into this, you know, when
you
we come back.
Like yesterday, I was supposed to yell at him and tell him he's an awful coach to his face and get mad at him and kick his chair? Is that what I was supposed to do yesterday?
Well, you can do that to me if you want to today.
Oh, okay. All right.
We'll come back. 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bell. Mark's in for Mike.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
80 Windy Bagwell Parkway in Hiram, where everybody is 3 miles away. I said two. Look who showed up, man. Tinker! He's out here. I'll say this. With the Falcons heading overseas, I am getting a little bit excited about seeing the setting. The stadium in Berlin, the historic stuff that goes along with that. Rob mentioned it to us yesterday, and you know, I just hope we show up and play halfway decent. But I do think it's an interesting story for the NFL, which is, you know, it's a global game. And Ross said this, you know, we got to get used to not only our team, but NFL teams being over there all the time now. This is the new norm, right? We're going to play games in London, Spain, Brazil. Where else were we? Now in Germany. I mean, this is what's going to happen. So I am excited about that. But let me ask you this, Zeno. I want to get into this with you because we have this conversation all the time about coaches. And I don't know if you think Ra is a good coach or not, but I'm going to ask you these questions, and then I want you to tell me, does he do this or not?
Okay.
404-726-0929. Does he know how to identify problems and fix them?
In-game or overall?
The in-game is a separate question.
Oh, okay.
Does he know how to identify problems and fix them?
Macro level, yes. Macro level, I'd say yes, he does.
Does he have attention to detail?
I'd be speaking at a turn. I mean,
the answer's no. The answer's no. Let's just keep it real.
Okay.
Okay.
I would lean no. Yes. Okay. But I that's a very open attention to detail.
When you're losing games the way we've lost games, not just this
year. Okay. Now I see what you're saying. Okay.
The last season.
Yes, the evidence would point to no.
No.
Correct.
Late game strategy. Do you rate it? How?
I'd rate it low.
F.
I rate it low.
Okay.
That's why before I asked about the in-game stuff, like the in-game management is definitely questionable.
Okay.
It certainly has been, yes. And I will say this much, though, in defense of him, because this, I will say it again, this is not his fault. Having a kicker who stinks, fails.
This gets to my next question.
It changes the way you coach a game. It changes the way you have to play
That's a great point. All right, so let's get to the next question. Because these are the things, the criteria I'm giving you when you say, hey, I got a good coach. All of these things should be fairly easy to answer. And none of them should be a fail or no. Does he know his personnel? The answer's no. And the reason is because now we're on our third kicker and we're midway through the season.
Not his fault. It's a GM's fault.
It's his fault.
It's a GM's fault.
Coach should know. That's a no. Does he prioritize leadership?
Yes, I think he does. I mean, who those guys are is up for debate, but you know, since Matt Ryan has left the organization, there is no de facto leader on this team.
Zeno, but you sound like a magic eight ball right now, Zeno.
What happened? What did you say? I didn't hear that.
You sound like a magic eight ball right now, Zeno.
Yeah, you see him struggling magic with this,
ball.
Right?
He's ask
struggling.
Me,
I heard eight ball. I'm like,
later.
Wait a second. I'm like, eight ball. Where did this conversation go?
But there is no struggling. Zeno, I don't know if he prioritizes leadership because there have been times where this team has not shown that they've had it. The coach has to prioritize
Can I ask you for an example of that?
Sure. Dan Campbell.
Okay. So, rephrase the question. Is he a leader?
No.
That's okay. That's
no. Because that's a
prioritizing leadership. Like, I gave you the guy in the field, the guy in the locker room.
Yes.
But you didn't ask me if he was the leader. You asked me if he prioritizes leadership from his players. Is he the right leader for this team?
Does that translate? No. We're still figuring that out. Because if they go on a 5-game win streak, there are going to be a lot of people who says everything's fine. Nothing to see here. Mm-hmm. Prioritizing leadership is setting your players up to have that. Look, the best teams in this league are player-led.
Correct.
They just are. Mm-hmm. That starts with the head coach. Let me get to the next few questions. Mm-hmm. We'll just analyze it here.
Yep.
Does he have a flexibility and willingness to adjust?
Adjustments are bad. They're a bad adjustment team.
That's another F. Okay.
I didn't say it was an F. I said it was bad.
Okay.
That's you saying it's an F. But I've railed against them since they've got here, since this, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, their adjustments are lacking. Like, whatever struggles in the first half, I don't see a lot of adjustments going into the second half.
Totally agree.
That change the course of a game in your favor.
Totally
like,
agree.
That's problematic. The best teams in this league have good adjustment coaches. Look at Sean Payton.
Great example. All right, one more for you. You guys can hit us up, 404-726-0929. These should be criteria when you look at your head coach that you look at and say, check, 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 check. This one I will give him credit for. This is my last one.
Okay.
But everything else just hasn't looked the way it should. Does he relationship build with players?
Yes, he does. Absolutely, he does.
He does. And we know this because we've seen it. We're there. I will give him that. Guys do dig raw. And more importantly, I do think he has a great relationship with most of the guys on this team.
You know, I said this going into the year, right? And I kind of still hold to this. And I know fans would tell me a quick answer to this, but, you know, I felt like they had the roster. I felt like they had the offense. They had the defense. I felt like they were in position to have a good team and a team that could win the division. I just didn't know if the coaching staff and the coach were able to close the gap for them.
So now we're having a real conversation.
And I've said that all season long. I just, you know, listen, I mean, all press conferences and radio shows aside, you know, I genuinely like Raheem Morris. I loved Arthur Smith.
I don't think anybody who meets him doesn't like him. He's got that
kind
of personality.
I just don't know if the coaching part of this whole thing is solving some of the overall organizational issues and down to the level of this year, if it's solving the issues that are plaguing this team. I mean, again, I think it's me personally, I feel like I'm pretty objective. I think it's fair to say there are certain games they've lost because of coaching, and I don't think the Patriots game was one of them. I just don't. Like, there's nothing about the way they executed their game plan there that was wrong. They played complimentary football. They got screwed by an idiot kicker. And I'll say it to everybody. I've been saying it all week long. I wanted to see how that game played outside of 24 because that would have been the gut check moment for that team.
But we've had these moments in Raw, for the most part, has been unsuccessful.
Okay. But two of the games you lost were because of your idiot kicker. I mean, that's the opener against the Buccaneers and that one. Now, I don't know how the rest of those games play out if they make those kicks, right? Because things just play. I can't forecast what the Patriots would have done on offense and how we would have countered it. Do I think we would have gotten a stop? Yeah, because but the Patriots went vanilla. They're going to run the ball three times and kill the clock and make the clock the 12th defender when the Falcons go on offense. And so they did the right things, but I don't know how that game plays out. I don't know if the Patriots at that point in time, it didn't feel like with only 3 points in the second half, their offense was going to be able to move the ball down the field with 3 minutes left and put themselves in position to kick a go-ahead field goal. We don't know how it works out. But there have been times, obviously, the Carolina game and the 49ers game, they looked wildly outcoached in those games, wildly. But then how do you look at the Bills game and go, how can you be that good? The inconsistency is a – it falls under the coaching staff. It does. It does because it's not a talent issue. It's not a to my knowledge, in those games, there wasn't a lot of execution issues. But when you look at the Dolphins, there were a ton of execution issues. They were bad. They couldn't run the ball at all against the worst run defense in the league. You know, that was more execution. If you watch some of the plays in the outside zone scheme, why do you think Charlie Warner wasn't on the field that much this game? They weren't running the ball, but there were blocks missed. There were guys that didn't get to the second level, which are critical parts of being successful in an outside zone scheme, and they didn't do it against the Dolphins. And that was the point. They didn't have an adjustment there. That was a game where you were down 17-3, right? And you're driving down the field. Now, Bijan makes the turnover, and it really throws the game way out of whack and made it uncatchable at that point in time. But – you know, there was some adjustments there on that drive, but when they got down three scores, it's like, here's the other thing, too. When they get in those games, they don't ever have a what feels like a coherent plan to get back in. It's just drop back and throw, drop back and throw, drop back and throw, and hope for the best. Like, it doesn't seem like there is a – or there's a way that the defense makes a play or anything like that. Like, it just – you know, when things start to spitball in a bad direction and snowball downhill – you ain't stopping that avalanche from coming. This coaching staff isn't stopping that avalanche from coming, and that's a problem.
The things I just gave you was what a general manager, or should I say a front office executive, gave me before the hiring cycle last year. And he said, your coach better be able to do these things. Right now, Raw to me is doing one really well. Relationship building with his players. Attention to details not there. Late game strategy is not there. In-game decision-making hasn't been there. And how do you fix a problem when it's going wrong?
So
he hasn't shown his ability to do that consistently. So what I'm telling you is these are the reasons why Falcon fans are so in their bag about why we feel the way we do about this team.
Okay.
It's not the losses. It is.
It is.
Damn, attention to detail. We're not doing that. Late-game strategy, you just said it. What are we doing late? What are we doing to find a way to change the game? You just said it. We're not. These are the things that make you a really good, and I'm pounding the table, a good head coach. Right now, this is very gray to me.
Yes. I mean, it's right. Look, I don't have to look farther than the win-loss record for the last 3 years to know he's not living up to his job, right?
But everybody wants
fair to say.
But 2 years ago, he didn't have the players. Or when Arthur Smith was here, right? He didn't have the players.
Don't get me started.
Smith leaves, right? We get out of salary cap hell.
Wrongly fired, okay.
And all of a sudden now, Zeno, you're drafting defense. You've spent all these resources on offense. That cannot
let
be
me,
an excuse
let, let
anymore.
Let me ask you this question, okay? I saw this stat yesterday. I think I showed this to you. Michael Penix has the highest miss rate on open receivers of any quarterback in the league. The highest miss rate.
Coach 12%. Him up.
Now, is that a coaching thing?
Coach him up.
Okay. But hold on a second. Now, you need to kind of figure out what those plays look like and go back and watch them and see, you know, because some of the some might be the throws, some might be the route, whatever it may be. But, you know, there's a line there between is that coaching or is that the player? We're not there at practice. I don't know what they're coaching on specifically. But that stat is alarming that when your young quarterback has the highest miss rate, that's got to be eliminated somehow, and that is on the coaching staff. We have to look at that and go, he can't keep missing open receivers. So either we got to shorten the routes, or we got to make the, you know, scheme something to make our lives easier on the quarterback, or go back to what I asked Ry yesterday, because I did ask him.
you asked
how
Ra?
Do you get how do you get the running game back on track? Forget Bijan getting the ball. The run game has to be fixed, and it has to be fixed now. Because once that gets fixed, a la the opponent you're playing, Jonathan Taylor and the Colts, the quarterback's life gets a hell of a lot easier and everything looks better.
You guys can let us know what you think. Find us on social media. We're live at Buffalo's Cafe. Our team's headed to Germany. Let's hope they'll be ready on Sunday. More on the Falcons coming up at 5. When we come back, what's on Day-Day's mind next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Interesting thoughts about our conversation about Raheem Morris. Look, there is pressure. He knows it. He talked to Zeno and I yesterday, and the pressure, he says, is always there. I just think it builds. Even more so, we lose on Sunday, right? Four in a row, it just continues to build. He knows that. This team understands it. I don't think guys are stressed about it. It's the NFL. But I also think from a coaching standpoint, It's how you look, and that's really what we're talking about here. All right, more on that coming up, guys. If you are just joining us again, we are live today in Hiram, 5380 Windy Bagwell Parkway. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to get a chance to talk to Barbara Dooley. Also, we'll talk to Chris Henderson. Chris is the Chief Soccer Officer and Sporting Director for Atlanta United. And the decision to bring Tata Martino back, big decision. A lot of people excited about it, and we'll ask him about this process. Mike Conte is going to jump in and join us as well, the voice of our Atlanta United, and he's going to join us at 4:20 to talk with Chris about that. And later in the show, we'll get into some dog conversation. Day-Day, real quick before we go to you, didn't you tell me the number on the dogs just came down a little bit? Is that right?
No, it went up.
It went up on mistake?
It moved.
How much?
Well, it came down. Yes, now it's 9.
What was it?
It was 8.5. At least that's what I got it at. But
there was 9.5 this morning.
Yeah, so it's 9.5 now.
I took Mississippi State plus 4.5.
Okay, you know what? You know what? Come on, Z.
Georgia has led exactly one time at half in the SEC, and that was against hapless Kentucky.
They are a second-half team. This is true. They are a second-half team.
Give me the 4.5 because 14-10 in favor of Georgia still makes me a winner.
And we talked about it this morning, Carl. This is a game Georgia – they don't know if they'll dominate, but they got to control it.
Yeah,
by the way, guess who's on deck?
Who?
You know who.
Texas. Yeah.
You know who.
Who?
Hook 'em horns, baby. Hook 'em.
What are you talking about?
Hook 'em.
You know what? Can we get a week off?
You know what? You know what?
Can we get a week off and just chill?
You know who else is on deck?
Now you what? Guy. You
all right,
just chill?
All right, all right.
Oh, he'll be there.
Carl right, already said he's a Texas A&M fan, so gig him.
he'll be there. Yeah, look, Texas fans are excited. I've already talked to a bunch of my boys, man. They're excited to come. Hadn't been to Athens. This is going to be a big opportunity. It's like last year when Georgia went to Austin. It's a big deal. But
very big.
But you know what? They got to get past Miss State first. Let's not jump ahead. I said to Day-Day this morning, I want to see Georgia with a dominant performance. We haven't seen it this year. They've or been behind, Zeno, to your point, in big games and were able to come from behind. Even the Florida game last week, guys, and win that game. They haven't been dominant from start to finish. That's what I'd like to see. And then we can talk all next week about Texas.
I'll tell you this much.
What?
It's not a formula that's sustainable once you get to the playoff.
Oh, I agree. That I agree with. That's what I think Kirby's looking for.
Even Connor Riley said to us earlier this week. Who was it?
Connor.
It was Connor.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a national championship team.
Well, he has said that all season. He doesn't believe that.
Not a national championship team.
But he believes that if the play is elevated, you could find yourself into one. You could slide into one if you can find yourself at that level of play.
You get the right matchup, yeah.
Yeah. All right, man, we got to find out what's on Day-Day's mind. What's going on, Day-Day?
Oh, man, I want to actually get back to Brent Key, guys, because we kicked off the show with that. And so I had this down. Look, does he get the bump following this season? Do they need to extend him now? Do they need to go ahead
now?
And just extend him now? Yes.
Yes.
You want to say it with me?
Yes.
What has he done?
Who?
Carl.
What has he done?
Back-to-back 7-6 seasons.
My God.
8-1 this season.
Guys.
And you have about 20 premier jobs out there that are going to be knocking on his door.
What
Forget
have you
about
won?
His tweet today.
Tell me. What have you won?
Trey? Thank you. That's what I'm saying right now. Let's not jump the gun.
But you can't,
that's Dukes. That's not that. Listen.
Yes, it is. No, the season's not over. Let's finish the season.
Hold on.
Let's finish the season, and then you know what? I'll be happy to cut a check. But you guys are all – this is what happens.
But here's the thing. He has proven he can do more with less.
What have you won?
Guys, contracts are a product of timing. There's a reason why Rhett Lashley, Kurt Cignetti, Matt Rhule, and a whole bunch of others got extensions.
Take Cignetti's name out of your mouth. That guy had his team in the college football playoff. Indiana. It's never been a college football power when it comes to football. Different story.
It's not a different story.
Yes, it is.
If there weren't,
Georgia Tech has won national championships. It's a different story.
As Day-Day said, if there weren't 5 premier openings and about 7 other job openings across the country, there's no reason to talk about an extension because of what you're saying. He hasn't done anything yet. But with the impending openings that are there and the amount of money that is involved in this whole process.
Well, he's not going anywhere. He cut his skin. See what he bleeds.
I know.
He's red.
Listen, and
see what he bleeds. He's not going anywhere.
Day-Day,
did he not say that?
No red in the building.
He said it, but that's why I say he's basically pulling – or what do you say? Calling the bluff.
He's calling their bluff.
He's calling their bluff.
He is. He's saying, I'm all in. I'm here. Mm-hmm. Take care of me.
Yes.
That's what he's saying.
What
I'm
have
saying,
you won?
Brent, Thank you, Trey. Brent, you've done a hell of a job. Your team is relevant. You have a chance to still win the ACC. You've got a chance to go to the playoff.
Okay.
But I'm not going to jump the gun like again, so many of you. You, Day-Day, and you, Mark Sinnoh.
I'm not jumping anything. I'm telling you what the market is telling me. You know, it's part of my job here in the sports betting world is to read the market. And when Matt Rhule, who still hasn't beaten a top 25 team at a Nebraska program that has national championships, gives an extension, it's because they don't want him to take another job.
You know what? They should have allowed him to take another job because he's done nothing.
There's an argument for that. But
also,
the point
are you
simply
saying
is,
Georgia Tech needs to let Brent Key take another job because he's done nothing?
Let me ask you a question.
Well,
hold on a second.
Let's finish the season.
Hold on. Ready?
Let's finish the season.
Take the headset off. You are now Carl Dukes, president of Georgia Tech University.
All right. I like that
title. You are now Carl Dukes.
How much am I making?
We're going to go right there, aren't we?
Isn't everything about money?
And not only that, I'm going to give you a dual hat title. You are athletic director and president of Georgia Tech
University.
Oh,
I really like this. I control all of this.
You got everything. You got all bank.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Are you comfortable with your guy sitting down with LSU, Florida, or Penn State?
Let me tell you what I would do.
No. Yes or no. This is what you do to me. Yes or no. Are you comfortable with Brent Key sitting across the table from representatives from any of those schools? Are you comfortable with that, Mr. Athletic Director? Yes or no?
Can I tell you what I would do?
No, because this is what you do to me. So now I'm giving it back to you. It's a yes or no question. Okay, so that means no. That means no. Okay, let's move on.
No.
Right, you're not comfortable with it.
No, but here's the thing. Do I get a chance to talk to my guy? Do I have a chance?
You've had all year long to talk to him.
No. You do your job. You do your job, sir.
Hey, you know what?
And then we'll have this conversation.
Let me tell you something.
When we need to have this conversation.
Let me tell you something. If that is your stance, Mr. President,
it is my stance.
Okay.
You know why?
Then you know what my stance is as the coach if I'm Brent Key? Okay, LSU, let's go to lunch. Okay, Florida, you want to go get a nice steak dinner?
Go.
Oh, hey, Penn State.
Go all you want.
Let's go to Taco Tuesday.
Go.
I mean,
who are you, LeBron now? Go all you want to Taco Tuesday.
Let's go. No, I would ask for a sommelier.
I get a chance to talk to my guy, and you know what I tell Brent Key? I love you. You've done a hell of a job. And there's a lot of money at the end of this road when we get there. But we got to get there. I cannot just do this out of fear that I'm going to lose.
Finish
you.
Your conversation. Oh,
okay.
You got it, Mr. Athletic Director. Excuse me, I got to make a call. Hold on.
And by the way,
no, hold on. Watch this. Ready? This is Brent Key. Yeah. Hey, agent. Listen. You know what he just told me? That he wants to wait.
Yes.
He wants to wait
until
the end of the year, and he said he wants to evaluate my job at the end of the year.
Yeah,
do me a favor. Call LSU, Florida, and Penn State, and see what they got. That's how that happens.
Also, be Jimmy Sexton, by the way. Yes.
And by the way, let me.
Is that who his agent is?
That's his agent, Jimmy Sexton.
Oh, they're screwed.
Let me tell you.
Oh, you're screwed.
Let me tell you this.
You're downright screwed. Sexton don't lose to nobody.
Let me tell you this. No, he's the brilliant mind behind all of this.
Sexton's already counting his money.
let me say this, though. For everything that we're talking about with Brent Key, and by the way, I want him to stay at Georgia Tech.
Of course we all do.
I want him to stay at Georgia Tech. I will say this, though. When you start talking about Brent Key leaving, and this is the thing, don't just chase money. You're in a situation where you have everything you want.
You're doing that thing right now.
And I'm just telling you. You're
playing.
No. Well, here's my point. You can leave, but just like so many other coaches we've seen, you may not have the success once you get there. And guess what? You're going to say, who cares? Because you got, what, $50
million? $50 million? Who do you think you got, Chester Clinton?
So that's why I asked you how much money I was making when you gave me all these titles. Because that matters. But I will say this. Sometimes it's not greener. Zeno, it's not.
Carl, you're right. But what you're doing here is playing on emotion. And what the agent's job is.
Of course. I'm in charge of the university and the athletic department.
Right.
Of course
okay.
I'm going to do this.
Right. And what the agent's job is.
Your wife likes it here, doesn't she?
Yeah,
your
she
kids
does.
Are in good schools, aren't
they? They absolutely are.
Don't you like an airport that you can get to anywhere in the world?
Can I put my Jimmy Sexton hat on for a minute?
And your house and your cost of living is a lot cheaper here. I'm doing all those things.
You're right. And guess what? Hey, Brent, you know what? $40 million a year gets you know what $40 million gets you and $12 million a year? Mm-hmm. Any damn school you want, any damn house you want. That ain't our concern.
But your wife's not going to be happy.
She'll be Gucci, Prada, and Louis Vuitton happy. Trust me.
Appreciate
you. She'll find a way to be happy. Listen, people say money can't buy happiness, but I damn well like to sure find out.
It can't.
I'd like to give it a run for a couple of years.
Well, it can't because that's what Brent's talking about when he says cut me open and I bleed, you know, see what I bleed. He understands that he's in a very good spot. Guys, he does have – Zeno is right. He's got all the power here. But if I am in this position to make this decision, let's finish the job.
Right.
That's what
right.
I'm saying. So many of these schools have done exactly what you just talked about, and they rush to judgment. You make the deal.
But Carl,
you give them these big buyouts, and 2 years later, you get caught with your pants
down. Okay, fair. But let me ask you this much, okay? What you don't want – here's what you're buying with the premature extension that you're talking about.
It is premature.
Okay, and if you want to call it that, fine. But here's what you're buying with I'm going to tell you what he's done. He's done enough for you to warrant to keep and stay on the course that you're on. Mm-hmm. Because, again, the uncertainty of having to fill the job with somebody who might not be as good or somebody who might not do better, he might just keep it where it is a lot harder to do. It's why NFL teams hang on to quarterbacks longer than they ever should.
Zeno.
Because the guy that I know is better than the one that I don't. And so keeping him here for another 5-7 years, even if he takes another job in 3 years, the idea is that, guess what? I'm now opening the window even longer. Because this season alone, the financial windfall that Georgia Tech is going to see from this season alone will last for the next 3 to 4 years.
Wait a minute. They haven't sold out all their games. People just right now are getting excited. Let's keep it real now.
Ms. Lippy, just getting excited. The part of the story I didn't like is where you pretended that, like, after the Braves won the World Series, that, like, you know, season ticket sales didn't shoot through the roof the next year. Of course they're going to go up. Well, everything's going to go up because of the success the program is having.
And not only that, their viewership this year, they have contributed big time to the viewerships that
the ACC.
Why are you bringing up
The point is, there's so much here. And even the people I've been, you know, discussing it with on Twitter, you know, I think everybody's making
fair. So just pay him. Just pay him. Just go ahead and cut the big check.
Yeah, you should.
Don't, come back to me and say anything because you're doing this before you should. And by the way, they beat a bad Clemson team this year. Yeah. No. You said he's done some things. What has he done? Oh, let me see. Oh, they went on the road and had to win in overtime.
The first time they've been ranked in the top 10 in like 30 years. That's something.
Come on. Paul Johnson had them ranked.
What have you won?
Not in the top 10 he didn't.
What have you won? Thank you, Trey.
Not in
what
the top
have you won?
Not in the top 10 he didn't.
I got your back, Brent. Go get your check, dog.
I mean,
I do want to see Brent get paid, though. I'm not going to sit here and lie.
All I got to say is if there's a Georgia Tech donor out there, Georgia Tech alum who built some building with, you know, crooked windows that shaped like a donut.
There's tons of them.
Okay. Then you all better deep reach.
We're talking about Georgia Tech.
Yeah, line from Blue Chips. What's his face? Who is the guy in Blue Chips who was the high school director, the black guy with the bald he was in Iron Eagle. Who's the actor? Thank you, Luke Osses.
Yes.
Dig deep into your pockets, gentlemen. Dig deep into your pockets. That's the line I need right there. Get that clip. Dig deep.
Daddy, I don't know if you had anything else.
6'9" and growing bigger every single day. Dig deep in your pockets. What do you give me, gentlemen?
But this
must be a point guard on the block.
This has got a lot of people going, wait a minute. I just feel like, you know, after you say I bleed, see what I bleed, you just put yourself out there, man.
He did.
You put yourself out there.
That's the problem I have with his statement because, Brent, you can go get a check right now, dog.
I mean,
forget all that.
Can I give you the other biggest thing that he's done?
I know we got to go. I'm sorry.
Real quick, the other biggest thing that he's done.
What's he done?
What have we spent more time talking this show about, Georgia Tech or Georgia, for crying out loud?
Well, we should be talking about Tech. We need him to be relevant.
But we've never had this conversation. We've never spent 3 segments in a show talking about Georgia Tech in the middle of a Georgia football season.
That's because they're relevant.
Okay, and that's what he's done. You ask, what has he done?
That ain't good enough for a $10 million raise, Zeno.
In today's day in America, it is.
All right, we're coming back. It's Dukes and Bell.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.